Raise their hand, they want it. They want it, they have to fight. I appreciate everything you guys, I tell you what. Y'all are a great bunch of people. And I'm not joking when I say this, it's not April Fool for me. I'm telling you, y'all are a great bunch of people. And not only great, but godly, great people. And I tell you what, I appreciate every one of you. And you know what? Just on the inside of me, the Lord has been stirring my heart, just stirring my heart about some things. But I tell you what, people, God's about to do some great things through this church. And it's going to be through you and I. The power, the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, can you imagine, dwells in us. It dwells in you. He dwells in our mortal bodies. You know, and I know sometimes we think, my God, Lord, I failed you this time, I failed you that time, I did this, I did that. But look, let me tell you, God is concerned about those things. But as we surrender to him, the power of Almighty God dwells in us, people. Don't stay down. Get up. That resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in us. Something that is priceless. The power of Almighty God. No one had ever been raised from the dead. That's the kind of God we serve, people. You know, last Sunday we talked about Palm Sunday, how, you know, Jesus told his two disciples to go and get the colt and the donkey, and they brought him forth, and Jesus got on him, the colt, that had never been ridden before, and started to ride in from Bethpage in Bethany, the suburbs of Jerusalem, started riding in, and how the people were saying unto him, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And started one by one, and everybody started to say it. And you might say, well, where's there just a little few people? There were thousands of people there. There were thousands of people shouting because he had touched people's lives like no other man had touched upon the earth. And they were excited about what he had done and what he could do. And it was in Jerusalem that there were men in there that hated Jesus. They saw their grip and their power being loosened off. And as he rode in, they were planning on how they could get rid of him. Can you imagine? A man that healed people. A man that gave hope to people. A man that fed people. A man that stopped to take care of whoever he could. Determined by their homes. Just save people, help people. They were there planning his crucifixion in Jerusalem. A minority, but the minority with power. And I know it had to be done that way. Jesus had to die. I'd say, well, why? Why? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
That's why from Adam and Eve, when they sinned, and he had to go and kill these animals, and then he made clothes for them from those animals, but he sacrificed those animals to cover their sins. And we see the institution of that happening, where they would take lambs and doves and animals, and they would sacrifice to cover their sins. Jesus, but you see, those things all had sin in them. They weren't perfect, but it covered the sins of the people for that year. And God could still bless the Jewish people, still bless his people. But you know what? God said it's time to remove it all. Remove it all. And it says that they crucified Jesus. And I know, and that's horrible. Horrible things happen. We know that. I can't get into it all, but we know what they did to him. And even when you read it on the pages of your Bible and you hear about it, it hurts the heart. It hurts the heart of a man, but the spirit man inside of us loves it. Because it redeemed our souls back to the Father. There was no other way that Jesus, that the Father could be reconciled back to humanity except through the blood of one who was sinless. Can you imagine? Jesus was born. He went throughout his life till he was about 30 years of age as a carpenter, a very strong man, not a weakling. Strong man, never sinned. From 30 to 33 and a half, his public ministry started. He started preaching the gospel and telling people about his Father, healing people, raising people from the dead, giving hope to people. Throngs of people from all around that area were coming to him. Wherever he went, he tried to rest, but he couldn't rest. The power of Almighty God was upon him. It was in him. He was God. And yet he took care of the people. Even the religious leader, Nicodemus, came to him and said, how, in John chapter 3, how can I have eternal life? This man did every law in the book. Everything in the book. We went to the, I don't know, was anybody able to go Monday through Friday to that prayer and Bible reading? You went Wednesday, okay? And it was good?
Yeah.
I know we weren't able to go there Wednesday. We went Thursday. And it was really nice. You know, they had about 20 people from different churches, you know. They had people that would go at noontime. And then they also, which I didn't realize, they would go to the nursing home in the morning. They go to the nursing home in the morning, they have Bible reading, prayer time, and then they go at noontime under the gazebo there, have the same thing, scripture readings by the pastors, and then they would discuss some scriptures and about the resurrection and all that, and then sing some songs and stuff, and they do that at noontime, and they do the same scriptures and stuff at 6 o'clock with different people, you know, obviously. And so... But it, I know when we went, we really had, it was really nice, you know, really nice. I wasn't planning on saying anything, but when they asked you to say something, you say something, you know. I don't know, people cringe when I open my mouth, I don't know. But you lift up Jesus and no religious person. You lift up Jesus and no religion. You lift up Jesus. Because he paid the price.
Hallelujah.
The power of Almighty God. And people, look, we serve the God, we serve a God that resurrected. Let's go look for the tomb this morning. We can't find anything in it but some rocks. Because it's empty.
Hallelujah.
Empty. 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 Can you imagine? Your Savior and your Lord rose from the grave. It's an empty tomb.
Yeah.
Empty. There's the power that raised him from the dead. It dwells in us today because of the almighty power of the Holy Spirit that was shed abroad upon the earth in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. The power of Almighty God that has been given to the church. Look. Before the power of God came upon the church, the body of Christ, the church was a very limp church. It had basically no power. Basically. I mean, it just limped. It was like, you know, just limped. But then when the power of God came, it put strength. It's like the church came like Samson. And I know he makes a mistake, but okay. It was like Samson, the power of Almighty God. That's the power that dwells in us, people. That we don't live on the level plane of the world, but we live on the level plane of the Word of God and the power of His resurrection that dwells in us. My God, God has given us authority and power, people. Let's not live beneath what God has given us. We have the power on the inside of us. God has given it to us. God says, go and make disciples. Go and tell the world. Go and tell them about me. All he says was, go tell. He didn't say we have to save them. Just go tell them about God and what he can do. Now look. Amen. The power of Almighty God. Look at Mark chapter 15. Praise God. Mark chapter 15. Oh, I tell you. Mark chapter 15, look at verse 24. Starting there, it says this. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. Can you imagine the scenario of that, people? I know he's resurrected, but you want to go back. This happened on the Friday before or so of the Sunday. Can you imagine? They strip him of his clothes. I want you to take this wrong, but you know our Lord and Savior really died naked. And he did it for you and I. Because he knew what they would do to him. As they put nails in his hands and his feet and a crown of thorns upon his head, they thrust it down upon him and they took that whip and they beat his back. They beat him and pulled his beard, mocked him. And here they put him on that cross in between two thieves. My God. It makes you angry, but yet we know what had to be seen. You might say, why was it so horrible? Because sin is so horrible to God. Because you see, it's sin that blocks the relationship between man and himself. That sin nature. And that's what Jesus defeated upon that cross. The sins of the world were forgiven through him because of his blood. They cast lots, can you imagine, for his garments. And it was on the third hour, 9 or so in the morning. And they crucified him. And the inscription on the accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right and the one other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said he was numbered with the transgressors. And they passed by, railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross. Lo. How can people, I know we think how, as he's hanging upon that cross and all the things that happened to him. Remember, it's not a majority of the people that did this. It was the religious people of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. He's hanging upon that tree and they, people are walking and looking at him and wagging their heads and saying, come down from there. Saying all kind of evil to him. You save others and you can't save yourself. Spitting upon him. Making vile accusations against him. Saying all kinds of evil towards him. But it says that our Savior was like a lamb to the slaughter. Look. Everyone that passed, he could have destroyed. There's more power in the little, itsy little finger of his than everybody in the world put together with all the power there is of every country. If you would have fought evil, which he never did, because he was pure in heart, mind, and soul, he could have destroyed those people. But you see, they didn't realize he was hanging on that cross for them. He was hanging on that cross for us. For us. And it says he was there at the morning sacrifice, so his crucifixion took place at 9 till 12. And then at 12 o'clock, it says when he gave up the ghost, when he gave up that spirit and he died after they stabbed him on the side. Okay. And it says water and blood flowed out of his side. It says that when that happened, the veil of the temple of the holy place that was upon the earth, the temple. There was a holy of holies there where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God was. It says that at the minute he gave up, it says that the curtain was rent in two from top to bottom. So as you were reading, you probably read it in your notes, it says that the curtain was about 4 inches thick and it weighed about 2,000 pounds, the curtain itself. So no man could have done that by himself. And no man would have started at the top. Would have started at the bottom. So God made sure that they couldn't sew it back together, that he wouldn't be in it. And it was rent in two to bring freedom and liberty to us. Because Jesus knew from this day forward that we, in 2018, that we could get up on April Fool's Day, April 1st, 2018, we can get up, take our Bibles, and we can go to the Father because there's no more curtain that separates us from him. No more. It's been done away with. We have access to the Father through the name and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can go to him at any time, at any place. We can call upon him because of what Jesus did at the cross. It split in two. And then for 40 days, before Jesus ascended into the heavens and took his rightful position, for 40 days, he was here helping the disciples. It says that he even went to a place called Paradise. Preached to the captives. That say what he preached. You might say, well, why didn't he say? Well, we don't need to know then if he didn't say. I'd like to know, because I would have liked to preach something like that today. You never know. You never know. He preached to the demon spirits in there on that side. What did he say? I don't know. I don't know what he told. But he might have said something, look, guys, I won the victory. Not for himself. I've won the victory for my people. The ones that you have held in bondage, the ones that you have tormented, the ones that you have held captive are now set free because of my blood and what I have done for them. Praise God, praise God. What a God we serve. That he set at liberty and gave us freedom. On that great, great day of resurrection. That we, in 2018, can have the benefits, of course, of him providing for us, for him giving us salvation, for him saving our souls from hell, for him giving us his life so that we can be blessed financially, physically, spiritually in all areas of our life. He can save marriages. He can save children. He can save the universe if they want it. By the power and the blood of our Lord and Savior. I want you to turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 16, please. Look at verse 6. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You see Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is risen. Behold, the place where they have laid him. He is risen. There's going to be a lot of people. And Joey, go put somebody up. In this day and age, information can be gotten in an instant. And I tell you, the world will try to discourage you and make you believe that he didn't rise from the grave. They will try to give you all the evidence in the world, saying that there's no possible way. Don't believe their words. Don't believe what they say. Believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
It is more true and right than anything else in this world, people. This word, this word, this word. Fall in love with this word. Get it in your spirit. He said he rose from the grave. He did it. He's risen from the grave. Now, I want you to turn to one last scripture in this. And it's Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, look at verse 19 and 20. Okay. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And when he sat, it signified that his work of redemption was total and complete, a finished work. When Jesus was on the cross, he said these words, it is what? What did he say? Finished. What did he say? It. Let's come. Y'all can do it. I know when you're at your house and your husband or your wife's waving the horn back there, and you start hollering from that door or whatever, they can hear you. Huh? Or if they can't hear it, you get on that cell phone, you hope they have it, and you holler at it from the phone. It
is finished.
Let's say it again.
It
is finished. When Jesus, for 40 days, roamed the earth, helping his disciples do the things that he needed to do, he went and he sat. This is my right. The right hand of the Father, signifying it's complete. He did everything to the T. He crossed every T and he dotted every I. That means no one's lost that has him. He did everything he could to save humanity. He did everything he could to bring reconciliation back from humanity to God. Everything. It is finished. Settled. The verdict was in. Jesus is innocent and his people are too. Ooh. That's it. Run that by me again. You are innocent. Ooh. You know, Pastor Joe, you don't know what I did 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or last week. When we go to the Father and we ask him to forgive us, he takes it away. And it's like we've never done it ever. That's the kind of God he is. And thank God he does that. Now, we remember, old Slewfoot remembers, and people remember. But God remembers it no more. And he's saying, my work is complete. He did a complete work in you, and he did a complete work in us, and he's done a complete work to change every aspect of the earth that he could do. It's done. That we can walk in freedom and liberty. You know, that prayer thing, that's what I'm talking a little bit, just trying to say, it is finished. You know, the work he did is done. It's done. You know, just trying to get it to the people, you know, that we don't have to struggle in being an alcoholic or a drug addict or any of those things. That God can completely rectify those things. That God can take those things away because of the power and the blood of our Lord and Savior. Don't live. We should never live beneath what God has for us at all. Now, that doesn't mean we walk high and mighty and think we God's gift to everybody, which everybody's a gift. But we need to walk as children of the living God, humbly before him. And say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Let the power of Almighty God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, indwell in you. That's the kind of God we serve. Love. Resurrection Sunday. What a day. And I know this is just a day set aside, you know, but at least the whole world stops to recognize that our Savior died and he rose again. You may not believe it, but we're going to declare it because of what he's done for us. If you would you please stand? For time's sake, I'm not going to read the scripture that I usually read. Just kind of maybe explain. The Bible says for us to take part in communion. It declares us to do it. It doesn't say how many times, but it says to do it. In remembrance of what the Father or what the Son has done for us. To remember that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again from the grave. He resurrected. And so today we're going to do that in remembrance of him. Not to forget, people. Don't ever forget that you serve a resurrected Lord. My God, that has given us power and authority. But it says for us to do something. It says for us to check our hearts before we take part in communion. So this is what I would like for us to do. If you take a minute or so to check your heart. And you say, you might say, Pastor, what do we check for? Anything that's between you and God. And ask him to forgive you. Ask him to forgive you.